So maybe we can read this together. It's only four verses. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Cool. The Apostles' Creed. So we are today in our third week of the series that we've been working through, and just wanted to remind you that here we don't believe that the Apostles' Creed is Scripture, but we know that it has come out of Scripture itself, which means that it is still profitable for us to learn from and to unpack, like we are going to be doing over the coming weeks in our sermon series. The focus, what we're going to have for quite a few weeks from now on, is actually going to be around Jesus himself, beginning with today's statement, which is, "I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord." And once again, you might have picked up on a word here at the very beginning of that statement that we had a little bit earlier on. It has appeared once, and it will appear once more before we finish this series in the Creed. But what makes this special word, "I believe in," so important to the Apostles' Creed here? Why couldn't it have been "I know" or "I understand"? Well, terms like that refer to just simple head knowledge, something that we've learned and we know in our head. Maybe like reading your Bible or memorizing the Creed, or it may be a passage of Scripture. And the reality is that all of those things are actually useless if we are not putting any of that knowledge into action in our lives. So when we say, "I believe in," we're not just recalling the Sunday school or youth group lessons or even the sermons that we've heard in previous weeks. When we say, "I believe in," we are declaring these truths that are actually shaping our lives and the way that we live. We're taking that head knowledge that we've had and we're allowing it to come into our hearts and permeate through our bodies, changing our life actions, because it's what we believe in. And for us today, we believe in Jesus. A couple weeks ago in our Alpha session, we had the topic on who is Jesus. And it revealed through the session is that across the world, people and different religions all actually believe Jesus existed. There's no doubt about Jesus' existence. The real difference comes in what they believe about who Jesus was. And there's many different views. Some believe Jesus was the reincarnation of an Old Testament prophet. Others just believe he's a historical figure. Some even believe he's just simply a good moral teacher. And others believe that he was leading an uprising, or at the worst case, some people just believe he was crazy. Now, all of these different views didn't take God by surprise. And it's also that we know from the passage that we read, wasn't something surprising to Jesus either, because he faced it. From the moment that Jesus started his ministry, people had all sorts of different views about who they believed he was. But that didn't concern Jesus. Jesus' main concern was that those following him, and in particular his disciples, believed the truth of who he really was. Which is why Jesus asked him that question that we just read in verse 15, where he said, "Who do you say I am?" The concern that Jesus had for his disciples to believe the truth about him is the same concern that he has for us today if we call ourselves Christian. And so if that concern is for us, that means this same question is for us and it is, who do we say Jesus is? The statement today, Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. First of all, just to clear up any confusion that you might have, is that Christ is not Jesus' last name. If that's news to you, his parents, Mary and Joseph, weren't Mr. and Mrs. Christ. Christ is his title. That's a part of Jesus' title. It means anointed one or Messiah. And so when we see Simon Peter's answer to Jesus that we read, where he says that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Peter is 100% correct in what he is proclaiming. Jesus is God's anointed one, the Messiah or Christ. But the question is did Peter, in proclaiming this, fully understand what he was actually proclaiming? And if you know at all a little bit of Peter's story throughout the rest of the Bible, Jesus comes to the disciples and tells them, look, as the Messiah, as the Christ, I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. And Peter just couldn't allow that, to the point where he was rebuking Jesus and saying, you cannot do that, Jesus. And then Jesus tells Peter, get behind me, Satan. Because Peter had not grasped all the roles that Jesus was going to be fulfilling as a part of that title, the Christ. And there are three roles that Jesus fulfills as the Christ, and that is as a prophet, a priest, and a king. And throughout the Old Testament, these are people that God used to use in these roles to lead the people, to guide them, to atone for sin, to mediate between him and them, to anoint for the anointed nation of Israel. So it only seems fitting that the Christ who was to come, God's anointed Messiah, would fulfill each of those roles that he'd used in the past perfectly, but not only perfectly, also simultaneously and for all eternity. Which means that if we are Christians today, it is of utmost importance that we know what each of these roles look like and what they mean, so that when Jesus asks us this question, who do we say he is? We aren't just believing that it's his title, the Anointed One, but that we are believing it is every aspect that it includes, beginning with the role of a prophet. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Last year, we spent a lot of time learning that prophets were to be bearers of the message of God, both by their lives and also by their words. So what do we see when Jesus' ministry started and he starts proclaiming these messages? He starts doing exactly what a prophet should be doing. He's teaching about the coming blessings and judgment of God. He performs miracles and mighty works for the people to see. He becomes known as a teacher with the greatest authority out of all the religious teachers that had ever been. But on top of all of these things that Jesus did as his word, he also lived out all these things that he was teaching. He never taught something that he never lived out himself. He loved his enemies. He looked after the poor and the widows. He sat and had a meal with sinners, and he healed the sick and possessed. And after this, in John 16, after some of the miracles he'd done, the people said, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Now we, unfortunately for us today, don't have Jesus in the flesh to come and be with us. But we do still have his words. We do still have his teachings that have been recorded throughout Scripture that can continue to speak to us as we read, hear, study them. Jesus spoke the same message that the Old Testament prophets spoke again and again. But the biggest difference about Jesus is he didn't just speak that message. He also came as the fulfillment of that message. He came calling everyone to repent from their sins and turn back to God, but he also became the payment for that redemption to take place. This is the good news, the gospel message that we know today. But there is a problem, and I'm sure you've experienced this in your own life, as have I. Not all of Jesus' teachings are easy to obey. Don't be angry with your brother or sister. If you look with lust, you are an adulterer. Don't divorce except for sexual immorality. Love your enemies, and many other things that Jesus taught that are hard for us to obey. We love to hear the gospel message that he brings, that our sins have been forgiven. We have received freedom. But sometimes we wonder, do we really have to take on all his other teachings as well? And yes, we do. We need to take on everything that Jesus has taught for us to follow. Yet, just the same way, we need to take on every role that Jesus fulfills as the Messiah, not just the role of the prophet. Which brings us to the second role, which is the role of a priest. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people." Unlike the prophet role that Jesus plays, Jesus' priestly role is actually often better received. The priests in the Old Testament was the person that the people or the nation would go to have things mediated between them and God. Not your average Joe could just enter into the Holy of Holies and be in God's presence. If someone had sinned, the priest would be the person that would offer the sacrifice on their behalf to God to receive his forgiveness. The priest was the representation of the people of Israel to God. Yet with the priest, there was no judgment. There were no rules. The priest was the person who brought forgiveness to the people and made things right with God. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27, it says, "Unlike the other high priest, he, being Jesus, does not need to offer sacrifices day after day for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He, Jesus, sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself." Unlike the Old Testament priests, Jesus was perfect. There was no need for atonement of his own sins, which then allowed Jesus to be that perfect sacrifice. A sacrifice that will never, ever need to be made again for the sins of the past, our sins present, and any sins that we commit in the future, because they've all been covered by the blood of Jesus. In Hebrews, earlier on in chapter 7, it says, "Because Jesus lives forever, he is a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." This is the image that most Christians envision when they think of their relationship with God. A great high priest, someone who's given their life for them and now continues to his role as a mediator between us and God, interceding for all the things that we need. But Jesus' role as a priest is only the second of these three roles that he fulfills. The third and the final one is the role of a king. In Jesus' birth story in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, after Jesus was born, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" For a long time, the people of Israel had no king. The prime and supreme authority was God alone and the prophets that God spoke through. However, in surrounding nations, these nations all had their own kings, and each king was the supreme authority over their area, and in their area they made the rules of how their people would live and what they had to do. And sadly, the Israelites saw this and they wanted to be like the nations around them. They wanted to be a nation and not just a people. And they begged God to give them a king. God warned them numerous times, but despite that, Saul became their first anointed king. And surprise, surprise, God's warnings came true and things didn't go well for the kings that ruled, for Saul, and then for many of the kings that followed him. They did a terrible job. In fact, a common saying throughout the book of Kings in the Bible is they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. However, there was one king of Israel who was beloved and remembered above many of the others, and that was King David. In 2 Samuel 8, verse 15, is a snapshot of how David reigned. He reigned over all Israel, doing what was just and right for all his people. King David was also known as being a man after God's own heart. He was a great king for the people. But there was a greater king still to come. And in Revelation 1, verse 5, it says, "Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth." A good king is someone who rules his people with righteousness and justice. A good king is one who knows how to exercise their power and grace. A good king brings peace and prosperity and welfare to the nation that he rules over. And all of these things are true about Jesus as king. He is king of the world, but his throne is not like that of King Charles that he sits on over in the UK. Jesus said in John 18, verse 36 to Pontius Pilate, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And he goes down and he says, "My kingdom is from another place." Jesus sits on the throne in heaven, but the other throne that Jesus has is in the heart of every person who willingly invites him in to rule over their entire life. Revelation 3:20 says, "Jesus stands at the door and knocks. If anyone hears his voice and opens the door, Jesus will come in and eat with that person and they with him." Once again, though, we have that problem. We want Jesus to be king over our lives, but we don't want him to completely rule over everything. We want to welcome him into our hearts, but we don't want him to rule over our finances, or we don't want him to rule over our relationships or our purity. We want him to bring the peace and justice and power over sin in our lives, but we don't want to fully submit to his kingly reign. And this brings us to the heart of the matter today, is how do we personally respond to Jesus when he says, "Who do you say I am?" If he's truly the Christ, our prophet, priest, and king, then what does that mean for our everyday lives? Simon Peter knew in his heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, our Lord, because the Holy Spirit had revealed that to him. Yet he still struggled to allow Jesus to fulfill the roles that the Christ came to fulfill. And I believe that the same is true for many of us today. The Holy Spirit may have revealed to you that Jesus is the Christ, He is the Anointed One. But maybe you don't want to allow him to fulfill some of these roles that we've talked about this morning. Maybe for you, if you are a believer, it's maybe as a prophet, you agree to his message of repentance and salvation, but you struggle to apply his teachings to everyday life. You know that Jesus says, forgive, but when a family member betrays you, you're just filled with bitterness that lingers. Or you know Jesus' command to care for the poor and the needy and the widows. It seems like a great idea, but when it comes to practice, it's difficult. And it's easier just to ignore the homeless man on the street than stop and offer him help. Or maybe it's Jesus as the priest for you. He is the Christ, but you just struggle to grasp this idea of grace. It's difficult to accept that someone would just forgive all the wrong things that you've done in your life. The addiction that you had, the affair, the years maybe of walking away from God. Could that really all just be forgiven in an instant by Jesus? Or maybe you feel like you still have to earn God's approval, as if you need to do enough good works to make up for the sin you've committed in your life. Or maybe for you, it's Jesus as king. It's fine as long as he doesn't interrupt your plans. You want Jesus to reign in your life, but you still want to be in control. You want Jesus to be king, but when it comes to finances, where generosity can be risky sometimes, comfort seems more appealing. Or you acknowledge Jesus as king on a Sunday morning, but after the service is done, you head out and you struggle to follow him during the week. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, hey, I just think Jesus is a historical figure. I don't believe he is the Christ. He was someone with good morals, someone who doesn't really have an impact on my life today. But I challenge you, what if that was not true? What if it was more than that? What if these claims that we've looked at about being God are true? What if his sacrifice that he made was personally for you? Maybe today is that day to take a step and ask, who is Jesus really? No matter where you are, maybe today you've realized that you've been treating Jesus as this sort of spiritual buffet. He's the Christ, but you come and pick and choose what you want to take about the rest of him. Take the good things and leave the veggies. We're going to listen to a song now, just as a time of reflection, and the song is titled All Hail King Jesus. And as we go through the song, I've got the lyrics on the screen, and just want you to reflect on this song and what it says, and also reflect on who Jesus is. Thank you. The beautiful truth is that Jesus doesn't come to us in pieces. He comes to us as the complete Christ, with God's love and authority in our lives. And the more we desire to understand who Jesus is as the Christ, the more the Holy Spirit will reveal that to us. And so when we say, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, we're not just reciting ancient words. We're declaring that we accept and we submit to Jesus as these roles. Our prophet who speaks God's truth into our lives. Our perfect high priest who made that eternal sacrifice. And our king who deserves to reign over every aspect of our lives. I'm going to ask everyone to stand and we're going to close the service by reading the Apostles' Creed. Thanks, Thomas. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Father, we thank you for Scripture, Lord, and we thank you for the things that have been summarized from Scripture and solidified in the Creed, that we can declare these words that we've just read aloud, Lord, and not just have them as head knowledge, but have them permeate our whole body, Lord, so that our actions are changed by what we believe in, Lord. And so I pray for us that you would go with us by your Spirit this week and help us to recognize the areas where we don't fully allow Jesus the Christ to fulfill the roles that you have given him in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Cool. Thank you. That is the end of our service. So just a reminder that we do have our special meeting this morning. So